The Bears have been chosen for HBO's Hard Knocks, and Jaylen Waddle is extended 3 years, $84 million. I'm Adam Wright. You're listening to the Fumble Rooski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. We have a good show planned for you guys. So the Bears are this year's next HBO's Hard Knocks. They choose a team every year to do a documentary for. And I'll say this right out of the gates. They have a type. And I think it's exactly the type that you want to choose for Hard Knocks. Right? You don't want to do a documentary on a team that you know where you know what you're going to get, right? If you know the team's going to be a cellar dweller, no one's going to watch it. And in that same way, if you know that team is going to be a juggernaut, it's not going to be that interesting either, because you have expectations for that team. And there's nothing that you could see behind the scenes where you could say, oh, I want to see that. No. They expect a championship from that team. So a team like the Bears, that's kind of what you get. So last year it was the Jets. The year before that, I believe it was the Cardinals. Either the Cardinals or the Cowboys. I know those two have switched back and forth, but
yeah.
You get the teams that people are questioning what they're going to be. And I think that's the way to do it. If you're going to do a documentary on a team that where you're not quite sure what you're getting, right? One of those documentaries that's just in season. You're getting the episodes as they're going. And the Chicago Bears are exactly like that. They have a lot of talent around them. They're not your typical number one pick team. They had the Panthers pick, and they finished what I believe it was 7-10. 7-10. Yes.
Something like that, yeah.
Yes, they finished 7-10. So they had talent already. They reinforced that defense, but there's still a massive question mark. There's questions in coaching, and there's questions always about chemistry, and there's questions at the quarterback position. That big decision that was made, we knew it was coming on whether or not they would stick with Justin Fields or they would move to Caleb Williams. So seeing how that decision pans out, and with a character like Caleb Williams, it would be a problem if they didn't pick the Bears for this documentary for this season. So I think they made the right choice here. I think the Bears are an interesting team. It's a team that everyone is going to have their eyes on for better or worse. And it's going to be an interesting show. I think this is going to be a good season for them. But CJ, what do you think?
Yeah, Chicago Bears are probably like the team that was probably on, NFL Network's radar as far as Hard Knocks goes, because there's obviously like the factors like quarterbacks, right? That's like the big factor here, Caleb Williams. And like you said, he can be a bit of a character. So what better way to, look at that than through the lens of Hard Knocks? But there's also another guy, rookie Rome Odunze, who they took at, I believe, pick 9.
Yep.
Who is going to be working with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. And you could already say that that could very well be a top 10 receiver trio in the National Football League, even though Odunze hasn't even played a snap yet. I mean, you and I both spoke of him highly.
Yeah.
And the defense is, it's coming along. You got Montez Sweat. They re-signed Jalen Johnson. So they have a lot of pieces, don't get me wrong. But one thing that I think that really makes it interesting, right, is the coaching. And last season, you and I said that Matt Eberflus, the Chicago Bears head coach, was on the hot seat.
Yep.
And I don't want to speak for you, but I feel that you and I were both a little surprised when Chicago brought him back.
Yeah. You can speak for me in that light. Yes. I was very surprised.
Yeah, he was one of the guys that I certainly thought was a goner, but yeah, no. And to be fair, Chicago did get rid of their offensive coordinator. I believe it was Luke Getsy. So I guess you could say there's some improvement, but as far as Hard Knocks goes, the coaching element is something that I think is going to add a lot of intrigue, because you and I have said we're going to know right away if Caleb can play. You know, we're going to see the improvement right out the gate because he's got all these guys surrounding him. But if it doesn't pan out, you know, there's always going to be some growing pains. But if they fall apart, like if they're halfway through the season, they've only won like two games, you'd have to look at firing, Eberflus, I think. And that's like what it's going to be for me, because obviously, you know, this is like preseason and I'm talking about what's going to happen like halfway through the year. But I just think the extra level of intrigue with the fact that they have the coach in Eberflus, who probably should have been canned this offseason. Now you're going to give him a new toy to play with Caleb Williams. That's weird, because I liken it to somebody who just crashed the car in Justin Fields, and now he says, I've totaled this one. I'm going to go get another one. That's basically what I think. We're definitely going to see a lot into like how he works. And there could very well be some precursors of if they're setting up Williams for failure, especially with Eberflus.
Well, that's definitely one way to look at it, and it's more reason as to why they picked the right team to document for this upcoming season, right? This is going to be very interesting to see how it works out. Now, I'm not sure who they picked for in season.
I think they picked that for a bit.
Yeah.
Continue.
But the Bears are the right choice, I think. I genuinely believe that what we could see this team being in the race for the division or in contention for the number one overall pick. We could see either one. Right. And I wouldn't be surprised. Most likely, if they're a bust, they'll probably be middling. They have too much talent to not finish with at least 6 or 7 wins. But if they ended up with 4 wins, I also probably wouldn't be surprised. That would be such a Bears thing for them to do, where you have some sky-high expectations and then they're back in the top 5 overall.
Eberflus, by the way.
Not just Eberflus, but also it would mean that they screwed up the quarterback position bad. Not to say that Justin Fields wasn't the guy. Two things can be true at once, right? I still think, regardless of what happens with Caleb Williams, Justin Fields is not the guy.
I feel like he could have been, but they killed him. But yeah, and those reclamation projects tend to not go over well, maybe once in a blue moon, but I agree that the way it was going, they just didn't set Fields up very well. And could he have been the guy? We will literally never know.
But that's my point. I don't think just because Caleb Williams isn't the guy doesn't mean Justin Fields was. I hate the idea that so often people act like two things can't be true at once. So Justin Fields wasn't the guy. They moved on from him. Regardless of what Caleb Williams does, Fields is not right for this team. Just because you chose the wrong guy after to be his successor, that doesn't necessarily mean they were wrong to move on from the last guy. Which is you hear it all the time. Where two things just can't be true at once. When you and I know very well, it was never going to work with Fields. I don't think it was going to work. He has good athletic ability. He has a good head on his shoulders. He just can't play the quarterback position. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. So find your next guy. I think it'll be Caleb Williams. I think he'll be a good quarterback. But if he isn't, that doesn't mean we're wrong about Fields. It means we were right about Fields and wrong about Williams. It's just two different topics that are unrelated to each other.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And honestly, another reason why I think Fields was never going to work is just this argument. And you hear it all the time. Oh, but at the end of the year, the Bears were really heating up. But it's like, okay, at the end of the year, when you're already this close to being booted out of the postseason contention, what? I mean, that's what we keep hearing, right? And this happened for 2 straight years. Fields would suck. And he would suck mightily. And then the final four games, he would play borderline lights out, although especially last season, I would call that into question. Yeah. But apparently the media says I'm wrong. And then people would be like, oh, he deserves another chance. Look at what he did at the end of the year. And I'm like, okay. And look at what he did in those 12 other games where he sucked.
Yeah. Recency bias, man. It's recency bias. You know what I also hate?
That he holds on to the ball for too long? That's another one.
Well, there's that, but this is about the Bears in general. Oh, it's like, and I don't understand how a fan base could possibly argue for this and think that general managers are taking this into consideration. It's that because they are the Bears, that they have bad quarterback talent, so therefore they should just settle for Fields.
Yeah, no, that's
because they're the Bears. They just can't. Right. They'll never have a good quarterback. They never will. It'll never happen. It's because they haven't before. Right. It means they can't now. And that's an argument that also irks me, because what are the general managers supposed to do? You think they're going to be like, yeah, we suck, and I suck too, and I'm bad at my job, so now I'm just going to settle, and I'm not going to go in and try to find that next guy. What kind of argument is that? Do you think the Bears think that of themselves? That they're going to say, well, because we're the Bears, we're just going to fit the mold of that terrible organization?
Yeah, you're right. There's no statistical anything behind that other than just, oh yeah, that just they never have good quarterbacks, so that means Williams is gonna suck. It's like, what? The Bears' history, you know, with guys like, I don't know, like Cutler and Glennon and Trubisky, like that has no bearing on how Caleb Williams is going to turn out. And honestly, right. You're right. Like what should they do? Like, literally, what should they do? Do you think the Bears should just be like, there's no use fighting it. Let's throw Fields $100 million deal and hope this works. Like, I don't know.
Like, it's like, so why try? Like, what?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do if you are the Bears GM? Is that what you're going? Is that the standard you are holding yourself to? That, well, we're the Bears. Yeah. I'm genuinely just a waste of space of a person. I'm just gonna. Why?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, their GM, Ryan Poles, I believe is his name, doesn't think that. And you've seen the moves that Poles has been making, right?
He's doing everything that is humanly possible to turn this Bears organization around. And there's actually some people who think that he's a bad GM. Why?
Because those
he took a shot at Justin Fields.
Let's be real.
He took a shot at Justin Fields. Fields didn't work out. He surrounded him with talent in year three. It didn't work out. So they gave more talent to the next guy in Caleb Williams. They built up a roster, probably the best roster for a number one overall pick to inherit of all time. So like, that's very hard to do, to make it so that you have the number one overall pick. And then the next year you very well could be competitive. That's very rare that happens.
In fact, you're right.
When has it happened? I guess, it's Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck took the team to the playoffs his first year. Stroud wasn't the number one overall pick, but he was number two and he should have been the number one pick. Also, the Texans robbed themselves of the number one overall pick anyways. So either way, it was going to be Stroud, but they went to the playoffs. Bottom line is, if Caleb Williams is the guy, then we're going to know it quick, because Ryan Poles did a great job to build an organization, build a team around him. Fields didn't work out, so they said, okay, we'll trade you to the team that you wanted to go to, by the way. That's a real thing. He wanted to, he had better offers from different teams, but Fields wanted to be a Steeler. He did right by him. Either way, if we find out, it'll be soon. And I think he'll be okay. Like, there's no reason to believe he's not going to be a good quarterback. He has the abilities. He has a terrible attitude, but we've seen quarterbacks with bad attitudes who have made it work. Whether they win the Super Bowl or not is one thing, but I mean, Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. He was fine. I mean, we get on Rodgers a lot, but he's one of the all-time great quarterbacks out there. So Like, if you believe he's a bust, then fine. But the idea that because they are the Chicago Bears, that therefore he's going to be a bust, and that somehow you're trying to twist this into believing that Ryan Poles is a bad GM and hasn't done anything to help Justin Fields and hasn't done anything to build up this organization. Like, are you brain dead? Genuinely, like, is there something in the Chicago Bears, in the water in Chicago, that just makes you lose brain cells?
Yeah.
It's actually maybe the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, every time we cover this Bears topic between Fields and Williams, we get some sort of brain dead in our comments who is just says the most asinine stuff. There was one guy who straight up said, why would you go and draft a quarterback who hasn't played a snap in the NFL when you have this guy who has 3 years of experience?
Maybe because in those 3 years, like, he sucked.
That's what I'm saying. You just answered your own question. He's been in the league for 3 years and you're talking about potential. If you're talking about what a player could potentially be after 3 years, then you are actually an idiot. You are an idiot if you talk about potential when he's been there for 3 years.
Yeah. And Adam, you and I have said this before. If you have a quarterback and it's been 3 years and you still don't know if he's the guy, then I got some news for you. He's probably not the guy, and Justin Fields was no exception.
It's not even a question, probably not. He's not. Name a quarterback who's ever been successful after 3 years of getting the chance to prove it. No one has.
I probably couldn't tell you.
You can't, because there hasn't been one. It's always 3 years. If they haven't proven anything after 3 years, regardless of the talent around you, you're not the guy. Mm-hmm. You're not. Especially when you had DJ Moore and Cole Kmet to throw to in an offensive line that don't give me the offensive line. The offensive line was fine. When you hold the ball for 4 seconds or more on every single sack, then there's the issue. All right. We're going to move on. Jaylen Waddle extended 3 years, $84 million. We're going to talk about how that changes the wide receiver market. A lot of players looking for big deals. Great and around the Jaylen Waddle level of great as well. I wouldn't say great, very good. How this affects the wide receiver one market, because there's a lot of players who are looking for big deals, and this one might affect that. That's next. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. Jaylen Waddle has been handed an extension from the Miami Dolphins, 3 years, $84 million. What I will point out is that this, like I teased before the segment, this affects the market in a way that may not reach Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb, but there is Cortland Sutton. There's Brandon Ayuk. There's T. Higgins. All wide receivers who are number ones, they may not be CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase for that matter, but they are around the level of Jaylen Waddle. Jaylen Waddle, T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, Cortland Sutton, wide receivers who are around that level where they could be number ones on any team, and they deserve to be paid like it. But they end up being number twos, and they are number ones on any other team that doesn't have a Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase level wide receiver. So I think this does, and remind me what Calvin Ridley's deal was again, because does affect
3 years, 90 something million, like 91, 93 million somewhere, like low 90s over 4 years.
So I think this is a step in the right direction for this tier of wide receiver in their market, because I think the Calvin Ridley deal is a little ridiculous, not just because of his age, but also because I just don't think he's legitimately a one. You're gonna hear a lot of pushback on that, but I don't think he's a one. I know a lot of people who do think he is, and I understand why. But every time he's had that elite year, it's only because he had an alpha lined up on the other side of the ball, on the other side of the field. Last year, it was Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk, I didn't think I would say it, but I think he's a better wide receiver than Calvin Ridley. He proved that this past year.
At least statistically.
Yeah. Well, you can even see it with the eye test. I think Christian Kirk's the better wide receiver. I never thought I'd say it, but last year I thought proved that. And then a couple of years ago on the Falcons, it was 2020, Calvin Ridley, 1,400 yards. That was with Julio Jones on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always when he's the number two target, when there's somebody else lined up opposite him, when he's putting up his best numbers. So I didn't think that deal was a good deal for him. But, it was great for him, but it was bad for the wide receiver market. So Jalen Waddle, I think, is a one. But he got 3 years, $84 million, which is a step in the right direction. So expect T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, and Courtland Sutton to get something like this. Which I'm okay with this kind of deal. Yeah. It's not like you're paying a number two. Jalen Waddle is not your typical number two wide receiver. He's a number one on any other team. So I think that they paid him. This is decent money for a number one. What do you think?
No, it is. It is. And real quick, according to Pro Football Talk, apparently, Tyreek Hill wants another deal, even though he said he's going to be done by 2030, but whatever. Or was it not by 2030? I know he said he already has a date picked out for when he's going to stop playing. So despite that, he apparently wants another deal. And so I don't know how a Waddle's deal is going to factor into it. I don't think it will, but we'll see. And Adam, you and I have spent a lot of time talking about, the whole Jalen. Justin Jefferson, CD Lamb, Jamar Chase, and how there's this big race to see who gets paid first and while everybody else gets screwed.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a step below that, where it's like the minor leagues, even though they're really good, to the other guys' major leagues. You know what I mean? There's a step below. There's levels to it. And I feel like Waddle, you said it's a step in the right direction. I also feel like it sets the floor, because I don't see Ayuk or Higgins or even maybe Sutton accepting less than 75 to 80 mil. I really don't. Sutton's maybe, but that's a big maybe. It doesn't matter what they're actually worth. It matters what their demands are.
Yes.
And now that I think about it, right, I really – off camera, I had to do some pondering when I saw this. And when you consider that Jalen Waddle just got paid about $84 million over the span of 3 years, that these other receivers saw this, right? And Adam, you would say that T. Higgins, because you're a big T. Higgins guy, should get around the same amount of money. Is that correct?
Yeah, just because this is the recent deal and that's around the level that he's at. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. This deal hurts the Bengals and the 49ers significantly, because we know at least the T. Higgins situation. Ayuk might be weird because now Debo Samuel might get traded. I don't know. And then they go draft Ricky Pearsall round one. So I have no idea what the hell's going on over in San Francisco. We're just going to leave that be for now. But with Higgins, right, it is not just that he wants a new deal and wants to be traded. He is now probably going to take a deal that is worth over $80 million. And if you listen closely with the right set of ears, you could hear the Bengals losing just a little more leverage. So imagine that you're not only going to have to give up assets. I'm hearing perhaps a second rounder for T. Higgins, right? And not only are you going to have to re-sign him, you're going to have to give him a deal that on the low side is going to be 75 to 80 mil. Really think about it.
Yeah, and if you're the Bengals, if you're the Bengals, you want T. Higgins to get that. Mm-hmm. You may have to trade him right now. Like, I don't know what you can get out of him. Yeah. I saw this one deal, this one proposed deal from Bleacher Report. They just made a mock trade. They proposed another second round pick for him to go to New England, and the Patriots would include DeMario Douglas as well.
Absolutely not.
If I'm the Patriots, maybe I'm just thinking about how, yes, they're trading for him to overpay for him, but I love his age. I think his age is really what, it's not just his skill set, the fact that he can be a number one. It's the fact that he's still in his mid-20s. So if you overpay him to go 4 years, well, yeah, you're overpaying him, but you're getting 4 years of prime wide receiver production, and you have a new toy for Drake May for years to come. I look at that. I am like, what's that second round going to get you? That's what I'm thinking. What is that second round pick going to get you? Is that going to get you T. Higgins? I know you don't have you do not have faith, CJ, in the Patriots' ability to draft wide receivers in the second round, at least to develop them.
Yeah, or at least same.
Fair. So, T. Higgins, are the Patriots developing a T. Higgins? I have my doubts.
It is very, very unlikely.
If they do, it's a T. Higgins that they would be getting early in the draft. Like if the Patriots use number three to take, you know,
Marvin Harrison,
or if they traded back and somehow got Roma Dunze in at pick eight or something, right? It would be something like that if they did get another T. Higgins. But if you're trading a second round pick for a guy who is a slam dunk number one wide receiver, and he's in your mid-20s. Same thing with Brandon Ayuk, Cortland Sutton, Jalen Waddle here. They all fit that demographic where they're not, I wouldn't say they're cheap, but for the production you're getting, it's pretty good. Do you know how many, like Jalen Waddle, 1,300 yards. You're paying $84 million for that? With the way that wide receivers are, that market is going up. If I'm doing that for T. Higgins, I do that yesterday. Especially if you're getting that kind of production year in, year out. You're finally getting your number one wide receiver. You're getting him at the right time when you're developing Drake May. I think you do that deal yesterday. And if you're looking at the 49ers with Brandon Ayuk, the Broncos with Cortland Sutton, right? Jalen Waddle here. These are all wide receivers who are of that caliber, who are at that age in their mid-20s. And if you overpaid them, I wouldn't lose a wink of sleep because you're getting that production and he's young. So, yes, he's not just like I think we need to change our expectations for wide receivers. Yes, it's always great to get the Justin Jeffersons and the CeeDee Lambs of the world and the Jamar Chases and the Tyreek Hills. That's always fine and good. But don't forget, when you have that the tier below, when you have these guys, you're not only going to get by, but you're going to excel. So that's something to consider. Because I think the wide receiver position is becoming, it's what's the way to put it? Inflated, I'll say.
Yeah, fair.
It's important, but if you had Jalen Waddle instead of Tyreek Hill as your number one, obviously you wouldn't be as good as he's not as good.
And free up more money, though.
He more than gets the job done. And he does it at a cheaper price so that you can address other positions. That's why I always say that I think generational wide receivers are more of a luxury. You can win a Super Bowl with them. Jerry Rice won a few. But if you had Jalen Waddle, you would still do it. And you wouldn't have to pay him as much. And you could spend on other positions. That's why, I mean, like I said a couple episodes ago, we made the case for Minnesota to trade Justin Jefferson, and people did not push back like we expected. What does that tell you about the position? It's like it's a need, but do you need that great of a wide receiver? No, you don't. In fact, the only times you can name an elite wide receiver winning a Super Bowl is when you had a generational quarterback throwing to him. So there's something to consider. That's all the scheduled content we have for tonight, but do you have anything else before we end the show?
Honestly, no.
Yeah. Nice, easy episode. Guys, before we end, we are moving back to one episode a week. We do have a busy schedule this summer, but this is going to be a fun summer because we're going back to our player countdowns. So every skill position, starting with safeties, going through the defensive positions and the offensive positions, we're going to rank our top five going into into the 2024 season. And then we are also, for our other segments, we are doing division previews. We're also doing fantasy football position previews. So we have plenty of content coming up. This is going to be a fun summer. We're taking a step back with our episode count. However, on Tuesdays, we are still giving you some good quality content. On top of that, we are also bringing our fan box back. We are asking you guys your most underrated position. So let's say safeties. We're going to rank our top five, but for our fan box, we're going to ask you guys who you think are the most underrated safeties in the league. Who's the most underrated wide receivers in the league? Stuff like that. It's going to be a fun summer. But in the meantime, that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have new episodes out on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and Fridays at 5. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast and our TikTok at FumbleRooskiPod to keep up with our podcasts and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.